I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Kristen Dickerson. She is the founder of Green Imaging. She graduated from the University of Texas Medical School at Houston, where she was elected to Alpha Omega Alpha Honor Medical Society. Dr. Dickerson completed her radiology residency at UT Houston, where she was a chief resident with extensive training in cancer imaging at MD Anderson Cancer Center. Now, I've invited her on as a part of a series I've been doing. One of the biggest problems that businesses face is the rising cost of healthcare. And it's become the second or third number line item in the budget. And Kristen's going to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. And so I know everybody wants to deliver healthcare for their employees. I think this is worth listening to figure out maybe there's some chances to do things where you can deliver better care for less money. Kristen, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
You know, and the thing that was so exciting, we met on LinkedIn, and when I looked at what you were doing, I said, this kind of reminds me of what I experienced with Central Park Imaging. And let me just kind of back up. I had to get some radiology done, and the number one carrier in Central Texas is ARA. The folks at the front desk are usually look like they hate their job. It takes a long time to get your radiology scheduled, and they're expensive. And one day I thought, let me see, because I have a high deductible plan and I'm paying a lot of this out of pocket. I was like, let me see if there's somebody else. And I stumbled across Central Park Imaging. And they were half the price with happy people that got me scheduled faster. And then you told me you're the chief medical officer there.
Correct. Been working there with them for 7 or 8 years. Fantastic organization.
Wow. So, and I was a little bit confused. So maybe you can help everybody else. What does it mean to be the chief medical officer? Because you're in Houston, they're in Austin. What does it mean to be the chief medical officer there?
Well, it's providing oversight of the facility, which as a radiologist, the quality metrics, the things that happen from a quality standpoint, all happen online. You know, radiologists are reading off of a PAC system, you know, from wherever they read their studies. They're not necessarily in the facility these days. Fewer and fewer in the facility, in fact, especially post-COVID. And so, you know, my radiology group is the interpreting group for Central Park Imaging. We provide the professional services, and we also provide, as we're doing that, the oversight of the quality and, you know, making sure that everything from an imaging standpoint is not only good, but it's excellent, just like their customer services.
And the fear is, you know, and I have to admit, when I first looked that up, I was like, is this some kind of rusty scalpel joint? Am I going to go in there and there's like rats running around the facility and, you know, somebody with a big, you know, lump on their shoulder, hunched over, saying, you know, walk this way. And I doubt that I'm the only one that believes that way, that it's such a cost savings. How can it be as good?
You know, there is actually an inverse relationship between cost and quality of healthcare in the U.S. And this institutionalization of healthcare, these large organizations, whether it's hospital systems or private equity, owning healthcare, makes it all about profit. While the remaining independent, so 70% of physicians now are employed by a hospital system. There are a few of us out there who are still independent, still running these other practices. And, you know, we're doing that for a reason. If you're chasing the, you know, the the big money and the perks and the big buyouts from private equity. You're a different person than somebody who's trying to be out there and practice good care and make a living doing so. And so Texas has a lot of independent doctors, and there are a number of health plans now and traditional healthcare brokers who've gone to a different method of counseling employers. And we've got this change system going on that's starting to really favor the independents.
Yeah. I remember movies from, I think, like the 80s and 90s where, private equity was the villain. And those movies kind of passed and we don't hear much about them, but they're starting to pop up again. I mean, I know one area they're taking over is HVAC. So if you've noticed the prices go up, in HVAC, it's because the private equity guys are going in there and they're just jacking up the prices.
In healthcare, that's happening. I think there's some good players out there. I think there's some who are really trying to get the excesses, because we know if you look at the graphs of what's happened with healthcare costs, we see these skyrocketing costs. You see that doctors' pay has been this for the past 20 years, while hospital administrators, both the volume and the pay, have done this. And so there's a lot of waste and a lot of redundancy in there. Some of that is caused by too much bureaucracy in healthcare, but some of it is just bloat. And so I think where private equity can go in and get rid of the bloat, and that's usually physician-run companies, or at least physician-founded companies that have found the ways to help private equity get rid of that bloat, those companies are doing really well. It's the ones that are just consolidating practices and trying to make money off of them, where patient care immediately deteriorates after acquisitions.
I know one of those administrators, and he's a snappy dresser.
They also have really nice cars, too.
Yeah. Now, you were telling me some story about you drove to Austin. You live in Houston. You drove to Austin because you were able to save a little bit of money.
I have a special needs son. I have a son who has Angelman syndrome, and he needed a 3T brain MRI. And at that, Central Park's is no longer a 3T machine because actually theirs burned up.
Oh.
They have a great 1.5 Tesla magnet. But at that point in time, they had a 3T MRI machine. And we priced this MRI at Texas Children's, and it was going to be about $13,000. We drove to Austin at Central Park, where they were very kind to my son, and he did not need sedation to get the exam. They got him through it without sedation, and I think we paid, maybe $600. I've forgotten what their cash rate is. It hasn't
Whoa.
changed since then.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. How much was Children's Med?
It may not even be that much. I don't remember what their pricing. Their pricing for an MRI without a width is somewhere in the $600 or less. So somewhere in that range.
Wow. I mean, that's a huge difference.
Same machine, neuroradiologist, same training, read the exam.
How's that happen?
Bloat in the traditional system. Really. And also, I would say hospitals, to be fair, hospitals are open 24/7. Imaging centers are not. Hospitals have to staff, round the clock. They have to provide care for patients who are on a ventilator. There are more costs. It's just like, I'm not always, my company, Green Imaging, is not always as cheap as going directly to an independent imaging center because I have additional costs. I'm doing claims data assessments for employers. I'm basically subsidizing their claims, in the 30 to 60 days that it takes them to pay me. So I have different expenses than, and I think some of it is just the difference in expenses, but I think most of it's administrative bloat.
One of the things that I've looked at when I've seen it, so I'm on a high deductible plan, but I look at, the deductibles of the current plans out there, they're kind of the same. But I, years ago, I've had chronic problems with chalazions, which is like a little lump that pops up in your eyelid. And a lot of times, usually they'll resolve. But I have one that just went and resolved, and I started calling around to get prices. And the first thing I noticed was everybody wanted me to come in for an evaluation before they would treat it. I'm like, come on, it's a Chalazion. When you see it, you're going to say, hey, you got a Chalazion, lay back, we're going to lance that. And everybody wanted to have at least one meeting. And the prices, first place I called, that it was going to be about $350. Then I called another place and it got even more complicated. And they didn't tell me the price, but my feeling was about 800. And finally, I found somebody that would knock everything out in a single visit. And I spent 30 minutes with a nurse, 45 minutes with a surgeon, plus a follow-up visit with a surgeon for like $240. And it was a direct, it's what you were talking about. It's a direct care. And the reason I was bringing that up is when we shop for most things in life, we go around, we call a few people like I did. And I got excellent service. It was right next to the hospital in Lakeway, which is a nice hospital. And, you know, there were no rusty scalpels laying around. And the people were nice. And they took care of it. And I haven't, actually, I feel like my eyes have been in better shape than before that. And, but we shop for most of our purchases, we shop and we ask questions. But when it comes to medical, it seems like we've broken that step.
Yeah, I think, I always teach my team that, or remind my team, because this isn't something that's taught. People entering the healthcare system for anything, even a screening mammogram, are under stress. That is a stressful situation. I always say, where's the most expensive place to get an MRI? It's down the hall from your doctor at the hospital. And then, where is the, where's the highest? But what's the best day of the year? It's when you've had get your report from your negative mammogram. But there's a lot of stress associated with even something as benign as that. So I always remind my concierge staff that people you're dealing with are on heightened stress the minute they contact you. Something is going on in their life that they're contacting you. And, to be aware of that. And I think it's that stress that people take advantage of in not giving patients pricing and not leading them to the best opportunity if they don't ask.
Yeah. I'll say this, that one clinic that I figured was around 800, and it's one of the most prominent clinics here in Austin. My impression getting off the phone with them was they've built an insurance extraction machine.
That's the game. And, it's meant to be this way. The people who are extracting the most money from healthcare have never see a patient.
So I guess here's my question. How, you know, so obviously employers, they put together plans, and one of the things they run into is, you know, people are real funny about healthcare. And it's why, you know, when President Obama went around selling Obamacare, he had to drill home, if you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you keep your plan. Later rated as lie of the year by PolitiFact. But he knew he had to say that. And so that's something that employers are running into. People have their favorite doctors, they have their plans. And when all of a sudden they hear, hey, we're going to switch off this and we're going to go to this other plan, and it's going to be much cheaper and you're going to like it, people get scared.
They do, but that's why you have to give them a choice. And the great advisors like Matt Work that you discussed and Josh Butler, these guys are giving patients choices. They are giving them choices that make a lot of sense. So, I led a panel at a recent benefits conference, and I asked some of these top brokers in the country. I said, what's your first step when you work with a new employer? What's the first thing you're going to do? And I didn't set this up this way. And actually, two of the three said green imaging. And you know why that is? Because nobody has a favorite radiologist. I wish they did, and I wish I were that person, but nobody has a favorite radiologist. So it makes it a really easy thing to do. And so when these advisors are putting green imaging in alongside their Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, they're saying, okay, you can use Green Blue Cross Blue Shield. You can go down the hall at the hospital and go have that MRI. Now you're going to be subject to your $3,000 deductible or whatever that is. And believe me, the cost of those MRIs have gone up. You may hit that deductible with that one study. Or you can go to Green Imaging. And if you go to Green Imaging, it's zero out of pocket. And when they do that, the employer is able to fund the exam for the patient. The patient is getting the study they need. 68% of Texans are delaying care or not getting care because they can't afford it right now. So the member is able to get the service and the employer still saves 40% on the exam. How is that not a no-brainer?
And the cost, I mean, you probably know these numbers better than I, but the cancer rates went way high after COVID because people had a bunch of they quit going to their doctors. There was a bunch of undiagnosed, so not getting things diagnosed is bad.
And it's expensive for employers. Not only the cost of like a stage one to stage two breast cancer can be, hundreds of thousands of dollars difference in the treatment, they're also losing that employer for employee for a longer period of time. And it may be a young mother who's losing time away from her kids. I mean, the stress on a family, the difference in treating a stage one and a stage two or three or worse breast cancer is dramatically different in lots of different costs, not just monetary.
So Green Imaging has, if I understand correctly, you have a network across the country.
Correct. We work with over 5,000 facilities nationally in 50 states.
Are you more concentrated here in Texas than elsewhere, or?
We are. Texas and Florida are running neck and neck right now. I'm always pulling for Texas, but Florida has been a source as well.
Well, and here's a question that I wrestle with, and it's tough. If I look back to me shopping around for that Chalazion removal, I was an active shopper in my healthcare, and as a result, I got great service at a lower price. And I think compared to I think the most expensive one, they were a hassle. Just talking to them was tense. And we've kind of removed the competitive shopping experience from the purchase of healthcare. Is that something we should look at reintroducing? How do you, and I guess my thought is that's one mechanism that brings down the cost of healthcare. Is that the only mechanism? And if it is, how do we do more of that? Or are there other mechanisms that you can see that can help us reverse this curve?
Yeah, and that's a really, there are only a few people who can actually pronounce Chalazion. So not everybody can go shop for their own healthcare. For whatever reason, we're not scientific thinkers a lot of times. Again, it's healthcare stress. Again, there are cultural differences. So there's an emerging model, and it's really, I think, the fastest growing change in healthcare, and it's called direct primary care, and it's subscription-based primary care. And through that model, you actually get somebody who can do that shopping for you, who is a physician. And I think that really answers that, if you're sick with COVID, you're not going to go call around for hospital, rates. You need an advocate. And that's what direct primary care does. So for a flat fee, I'm seeing pricing running from $75 to $200 a month. It depends on the market. I think there's some affordable options in Austin, and you can basically have your own Marcus Welby, and it's a doctor you have access to 24/7. You have in-person access for, at least an annual exam. I mean, well, they want to see you whenever you want to be seen in person, and you have telehealth access to that person. They'll do telehealth consults, so they're actually involved when you go see a specialist, and they understand what the specialist is telling you, and they make sure the specialist understands the important parts of the workup that they've already performed. They can talk to the ER doctor if you end up in the ER and tell them, oh no, he's got a history of this, or he's got an implant, you can't do that MRI yet. There are things like that that go on where we get an advocate. And the interesting thing about that is they're ethically aligned with the member, and in the setting where employers are putting this in place, they're ethically aligned with the employer. They want to get you healthy, that they're going to do better financially if they never have to see you.
Right.
If you're dealing with your hypertension, if you're dealing with losing weight, if you're dealing with all those things and they don't have to spend time with you, they're actually making more money off that subscription. But then when you need them, they're there. And I just think it's a tremendous model. And my company gets inquiries, several inquiries a week from new DPC doctors looking to work with us, which to me is just, I mean, because they don't all know about us, but it's tremendously heartening to see that many doctors converting to that model. Whereas the old model for primary care is that you go get some tests done and they only have 20 minutes with you. And so they're going to do more tests than talking to you because that's going to get them more of a result. And then in order to pay for that, they've got to churn you back to get results. And then to deal with whatever they found, they've got to see you another time to come up with a treatment plan. They churn patients and very short, visit times. Whereas again, the DPC doctor, their incentive is to spend time with you, find out what your problems are, and help you not only have better healthcare, but also save money.
Yeah. And just to kind of rehash, so because I think for a lot of people, there's some confusion around what direct primary care is. That's a monthly subscription. Basically, you're paying a monthly subscription. And as I understand it, you basically get unlimited visits and you get a annual physical for that.
Correct. And sometimes labs are at least low cost, labs, and most of them have solutions in place for the specialists, for the imaging, for the other things you're going to need in traditional healthcare. Some even have hospital contracts where, they can guarantee you that if you go to this facility, it's going to be this percentage of Medicare maybe or something like that. So it's really, it is to me a much more ethically aligned and true health care, not just health care coverage, because there's a
Yeah.
difference between those two things.
Now, when you go on one of these plans, are you seeing the doctor or are you seeing their PA?
It depends. Some of them do. And then that's a good question. If you're interested in one of these practices, that's a good question to ask. If a PA or nurse practitioner is overseen by a physician and I like that person, I'm usually okay with that for primary care. Now, if I have a more complex issue, I want to see an MD for sure. But I think that's a really good question. Usually it will be an MD that sees somebody up front, but there are as many different models of this as there are DPC doctors. So there are always variations on this. And I think the thing that confuses people a lot of times is the difference between this and concierge. And in concierge, you're paying that monthly fee, but they're also charging your insurance. So you're actually paying them for better access to them. And with DPC, it's all in.
That is the best explanation. I've asked the question so many times what the difference is between concierge and direct primary care. I've always walked away confused. You've just given the best answer I've ever heard to that question. So will you say it again? What's the difference between concierge and direct primary care?
Right. With direct primary care, you're paying for your healthcare, for the healthcare that they provide. With concierge, you're paying for better access to healthcare. They're still going to charge you for the healthcare they're providing. They're going to charge your insurance or you for the additional care. And so there's a big difference in what's included in that.
Wow. Wow. Well, and one of the reasons I was asking about the difference between, do you see a doctor or you see the PA? And I would agree with you for most things, the PA is great. I ran into a situation where, about 1 year after I came off the ventilator, I had my creatinine was elevated. And my PA kept giving me a bad diagnosis. I asked her, I said, I do something called Camp Gladiator and I'm hypoxic at Camp Gladiator. Is there any chance that's impacting it? And she's like, no, keep doing it. I went back three times. And one time I even went back with a study that showed how, and apologies to the audience, how ischemia raises creatinine levels. And I said, if ischemia will raise creatinine, then wouldn't hypoxia raise it? And she's like, no, keep going to Camp Gladiator. I eventually self-diagnosed, quit going to Camp Gladiator, went back for another blood test, and my creatinine dropped.
Yeah, and you know that's where that, I mean, a physician should be overseeing the labs. They should be overseeing the care of the patient, and that's obvious. You know, and I think when it's well done, a good PA or nurse practitioner is coordinating with, you know, with an MD. There's a huge difference in training, and you know, I think it's intellectual. You know, it's a matter of intellectual curiosity and intellectual honesty as to if, you know, they really are doing it properly. And so, you know, I think that it's fair enough to ask for, if you are looking at VPC practices, ask for some references, ask for some, you know, family, you know, somebody your age who's using them and has had a great, you know, and you know, and then read the Google reviews. Google reviews can be quite enlightening.
Well, and obviously, I mean, I'm a little bit more, maybe a little bit more knowledgeable, a little bit more active in understanding
Right,
my
than
own
that.
care. But you know, we have this wonderful thing called AI that, not that it's perfect, but boy, it can pull up some answers. And my recommendation is you should always be a better informed patient. You need to advocate for yourself, you need to advocate for yourself and ask tough questions.
That's true. Be careful of bias, though. You know, a lot of people have a lot of denial about what's going on in their body, and they want to find answers. They want to find the good answers and not the hard answers. And so you've got to be really that's why we have physicians, is to, you know, especially doctors. Why do we need doctors? We're doctors. Well, we need somebody to give us a fresh perspective, give us a full perspective, who doesn't have the biases and the denial, and that we about our own care.
So I'm a little interested in your take on this. So I've seen a there's some economists there saying in 2030, 70% of tax revenue is going to go to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and service on the debt. That's before you fund defense and the other parts of government as well. And I told you earlier, I have a feeling that things are, that's going to be a day of reckoning for healthcare, especially with the current trajectory that the cost of it's on. What do you think is going to play out in the long run? What do you think healthcare is going to look like 20 years from now?
If things continue to go well in the self-funded healthcare space, in the space where Matt Ort and Josh Butler and I are working, it could serve as a model. The hope is it can serve, you know, it is not as bureaucratic. It's easier to be creative in that space and do things differently. And we're starting to see, you know, where the VA wants to do some pilots for direct primary care. You know, the government space is starting to take notice of some of the things that are happening in the self-funded space. And I think really, if you look at the people who really need direct primary care, there are veterans, they are elderly people who are on polypharmacy. They're the, you know, people like my son with disabilities, you know, who interface the healthcare system frequently. Those are the people who most need that. And whether that needs to be a physician or whether that can be a PA more affordably, but people need somebody who is really Sherpa, being the Sherpa to their medical care and overseeing that and making sure that they're not overtreated. You know, the first direct primary care physician that I met was Dieter Boyle out of Houston. He has first primary care here, and he was a Yale-trained pulmonary intensivist. He was in that pulmonary ICU with the ventilators. And you know, he looked around at what he was doing, you know, the time he was missing from his family, and said, 90% of the people in this ICU do not need to be here. They either didn't have good primary care or they didn't have end-of-life counseling. And that's where he started exploring models that were happening elsewhere and found the direct primary care model. And I think if you look at it that way, think about how many gazillion dollars we're spending people on ventilators who don't need to be there. And if we just took care of them in the beginning and they had the right tools at their fingertips, they wouldn't be there. I think that's really the answer. And I'm an optimist. I've been doing this 14 years. I started doing this before there was a movement because I felt like it was the right way to practice medicine. But I've seen, now I go to these conferences and there are thousands of, hundreds of brokers that are doing it right now, and hundreds of thousands of employers are changing their health plans. So I'm optimistic that 20 years we can change things.
Wow. Well, I really appreciate what you're doing. I've sampled your work. It's wonderful. And so, a couple questions as for somebody that says, you know what, I want cheaper imaging with happier customer service, how do they find you?
www.greenimaging.net. Greenimaging.com will take you to Canada. Greenimaging.net will take you to the US.
All right. And for somebody else that wants to connect with you, what's the best way to connect?
With me personally or my company?
Your choice.
Okay. The best way to connect, our company info@greenimaging.net is if you're an emailer, if you want to give us a call, I'm happy to educate. If you have more employees, employers, people who want to hear about this, I'm always happy to speak. And info@greenimaging.net is a great email to contact us. Phone number 713-524-9190. Real people will answer the phone.
That's great. Well, Dr. Kristen Dickerson, thank you for being on Leaders and Legacies. I love what you're doing. I do believe you're the future and appreciate all that you've been doing.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me and great questions. It was fun.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.